Hey, brother, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's kind of funny. I went upstairs today and I told Julianne, I said, we're going to be doing a rack and stack today, but we only got one. She goes, well, that's not a rack and stack. That's just a rack. Yeah, to tell Randy to take the stack off this one.
Yeah, no stack. No stack, just a rack. But it kind of counts because we are going across the big pond again. We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't.
We've done several. I mean, we've done like England, UK, and Finland, and somewhere else over that way. But we're going all the way to Norway this time.
That's amazing.
It is. I mean, we're going to hell today. You know, I mean, I just love to say that because it's funny. When I first got to know you, Kim, virtually, I was the first thing I noticed was the town he's from, which is Hell, Norway, because there's a Hell, Michigan. About 15 minutes from Ann Arbor, where I lived for about 16 years. And I get weird excitement over weird little things sometimes. And I always thought it was great to go, what are you doing today? I'm going to hell. I said, oh, what'd you do? I said, I'm just going to hell. I didn't do anything wrong. Just going to hell. I don't know why it was so fun for me to say, but
I think it's very important that I rub my blessings over here, you know, because
I think
my
you should.
Cross and my Bibles, because you're freaking me out a little bit.
but if you're even close, you may go. So you better be careful.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, let's go get Joakim on and chat with him from Norway. I think it's like his bedtime over there or something.
Okay. Close. Let's get him on.
All right. Let's do it.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, Joakim, what's going on, my man?
How are you from Hell in Norway, Paradise on Earth? I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Paradise on Earth, I love it. Yeah, you had to get that Hell Norway out of the way, didn't you? Right out of the way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for being on. I know we was talking pre-show this. We're recording this at 1 a.m., or not 1 a.m., 1 p.m. Eastern in the U.S., and so you're about, 7 o'clock over there, 7:30?
Yeah, 7. Yeah, 7. 7 in the afternoon.
Yep. So, wow. So
that's fine.
Huh. Hey, like as I was mentioning, go ahead.
I've just been to the gym, so I'm top notch.
Top notch, ready to go. I love that. I love that. Yeah. So, you know, as we've got to know each other over time virtually, and hopefully someday, somehow, we'll meet up in person. But I really love your story. And before we get started, give us a little bit about who you are, and we already established where you're from, but maybe give us pinpoint that a little bit more for where Hell Norway is, and give us a little background of who Joakim is, and then we'll chat about what you do every day.
Yeah, so Hell is in Norway, which is part of Scandinavia, Northern Europe. So Hell is nearly in the middle of Norway, and as I say, it's paradise on earth. My job, I work in aquaculture. So I make sustainable production of food and energy at sea possible all over the world. I have clients all over. I've been living in parts in Chile and Canada. So my career has been into fish farming and aquaculture.
Okay.
So that's my background. And I love doing it.
Yep. So now, are you from Norway originally?
Yeah. So I grew up on a small island, which is a bit outside Hell, but it's another paradise. It's about 3 hours north of Hell. And my father used to own a fish farm, so I started working on the fish farm when I was about 10, 11 years old. So I started doing mooring systems at that age. And after that, I've been doing some educational stuff. So I have a Master of Science in Marine Technology. And with that, I started working with moorings again. So that's the systems for aquaculture at sea. That's what I kind of do, yeah.
Very cool. So when you were working, doing this in Chile, you lived down there for a while, I assume. You just didn't travel back and forth.
I lived there for 3.5 years. So that's about 20 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you enjoy Chile? I always, never been there, but I always thought that'd be an interesting
spot. Actually, I loved it. It's a very nice spot. It's very different when it comes to the social conditions compared to Norway. It was good. I traveled a lot to all the sites at sea, and Chile is a long country from north to south, so it's a long coastline. Mm-hmm. And every trip was an adventure for me, so I just loved it. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So, so you got started. So you said about 10 years old, you got started with your dad, and did this kind of a family thing? Did he like get into that with his grandpa, or did it start with your dad?
No, they started. He and like three friends just started the company because that was in the mid 80s, and there was a very incentive to get concessions for fish farming. So you got the permission to do a site just to try and begin with this fish farming. And they just got together and started that. So it was a tremendous opportunity then, and it still is. I mean, now they went bankrupt because of disease. They got a disease in the end of the 80s. But if they had had the concession now, it would be worth millions. So it was a good incentive.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty exciting. I've never had. I grew up on a farm, but we didn't raise fish. We caught some carp in the ditch, but that was about it. I'm from a farm background myself, but livestock and a little dairy back in the day.
Yep.
But
carp is actually the biggest farmed fish because it's carp all over China. They have lots of ponds, like on land. So carp is the biggest farmed fish, actually.
Is it really? I did not know that. Wow.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, obviously China's huge, and we had a few in the ditch we had out back, and it ran through a drainage ditch, and I'd go out there and catch them, and we never ate them for some reason. My mom didn't want them, but we caught them and threw them back, and it was always fun. Then there's this giant anaconda snake in there. Of course, I was 8 years old at the time, and I thought it was an anaconda because I thought it was about 12 and a half miles long is what it seemed like to me. But probably my fear of snakes now. Now I live most of my life in Southern Florida where we got pythons, which,
they're huge.
Well, we have gators all the time, right? And I see gators every day. Don't bother me a bit. But the other day, and I didn't see this, but somebody in the community I live in here took a video of it. And it got all over Facebook and everything. But this gator had a big python in its mouth and was swimming down the little creek with it, taking it to dinner later, I guess. And, I was cheering the gator on because Kim, I hate snakes so badly that I don't like earthworms because they look like snakes, you know? I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan at all. I had a guy once, and we'll get into something more important, but I had a guy once when I first moved down here about 10 years ago, and he starts to tell me this. There's king snake and there's coral, and they look somewhat the same, but different ring pattern, if you will. Yeah. And he's starting to give me the little rhyme, right, to use. Like red before yellow equals dead fella or some crazy thing. I said, dude, I see a snake that's a non-poisonous garter snake, I run. I'm not going to see a snake and start doing some rhyme. Not happening. No, yeah. I'm sticking little kids in front of me. I'm taking families and sticking them between me and the kid. Randy does not do snakes. So, one of the things that I really love about you, Kim, is all your TikToks and everything you do. You're so into physical fitness and into positive mindset, and I love how every day everything you do is so positive and so energetic and so living life at its fullest. And really, for the next a little bit, and we can talk more about fish farming if you want, but really, my real interest level is to chat about this infectious attitude that you have.
Yeah.
And did you always have that? How did you get that? Why is that important? Give me the life according to Joachim when it comes to how important all that is to everybody.
Well, I think mental and physical health goes together. So as long as you stay moving, like stay active, you will have mental victories, and that will help your mindset. And I haven't always been like that. I used to be a big fellow. I used to be huge. And then about 10, 11 years ago, I just asked my doctor, I said, I'd rather lose the weight than have my first heart attack by 40. So I got a gastric bypass, so kind of to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. And after that, because I've always been training, I started working out when I was 12 years old. I started with powerlifting, and I was quite strong. But the challenge with powerlifting at you tend to not care about eating, but just strength.
Right. Right.
So I ended up being very heavy. And then when you get a bit older, you just need to kind of think maybe this is not the sustainable lifestyle. So that's why I got the help to get the gastric bypass. And I lost a lot of weight. And then to kind of keep going, because I always used to train, I just kept training, kept working out. And I'm very early up in the morning. So for me to start the day doing my workouts, doing my walks or jogs outside, that really sets my mind to a very high level. And when I have that level, everything I share will just be of that type, because there's no choice for me, because I can't, when I'm that high up, I can't choose to kind of downgrade. That doesn't happen. So I just love sharing it. And it's that, I mean, it started probably by the beginning of the COVID period, because then I attended several workshops of kind of going live and stuff on Facebook. So I just started going live and sharing this content. And then that again also gave me a mental victory. So the level of positiveness was even higher.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just love it. And I love TikTok because it's just very easy to share. If I want to, I could probably look at the feedbacks, but I don't really care. On Facebook, I feel that the feedbacks might be more, I get more into them, but on TikTok, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So it's just very easy to share everything there. So, yeah. But as I say, if I plan my mornings and I get through the physical activity in the morning, my mental state is just way up there and it gets me through the day.
That's awesome. So, well, and you know, it's, makes me think of a quote that I really enjoy by an author and coach named Martha Beck. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Martha Beck, but one of her statements is the way you do anything is the way you do everything.
Yeah.
And I love that statement. I have that wrote down a million places because I'm a true believer that you hit on that. You can't just get up and go, I'm going to have a great work day. I'm going to be the best worker, the best boss, the best sales rep, the best fish farmer, the best whatever, and I'm going to suck at being a family guy, right? Because I don't care. They all go hand in hand, right? I just don't think you can try, but I think that mentality, as you just alluded to, and I think so well, feeds on each other, right? And if you start positive, and that's the thing I really found. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on this, but when you get a positive attitude, a mental attitude, it's hard to stop that positivity, right? Because it just keeps coming. Just like equally, it's hard to stop the negative once you get going, right? It's like either one's a snowball rolling downhill, right? And once it gets going, it's hard to stop. So why wouldn't we work harder, even if you don't always feel like it, to get that positive thing started, get that positive snowball rolling? Because like you said, you don't even have to work about at it anymore. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but I know that I've reached a point that I walk, get a lot of walking in every day, try to lift at least 3 days a week. I don't lift heavy like you do, but I'm relatively older than you are. Not that that's an excuse, but it's one I'm using it's that I don't even have to think about or force myself. Okay, you got to go get some workout in. That's just such a natural part of life that I don't even feel guilty. I feel I got to go. I've got to go right now. Why do you have to go walk? It's raining. Well, because I have to, because I want to, because I need to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I actually love more walking in the rain than sunshine.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, it's just different. I mean, the whole, it's like in Norway, we have, like in the wintertime, we have lots of snow. And again, when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to look outside. I just know from the sound that it's been snowing. because you can, the whole natural sound resonates different with the snow, and it also resonates different with the rain or with sunshine. So I don't need to look outside. I know exactly when I wake up, okay, it's been snowing, it's sunny, or it's more moist, and it's just lovely. I mean, it's, for me, getting out in the morning, because as I say, I'm early up, so by sunrise I'm outside, and it's just amazing. I think it's I don't even have to do anything. I can just sit outside and just enjoy the sunrise, and it's just tremendous. I mean, it's, I don't think I can actually describe it. Just try it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then when I actually, because I do my, I call it strolling through hell, but I actually jog to the gym.
Okay.
So it's about 20 minutes quick jog, and then I do my workout, and then I jog back home. So that's my stroll through hell. And it's, I can be not miserable. I'm very rare miserable, but I can be in a low level when I begin. But when I get home and I'm done with the showering and I'm doing my morning coffee, I'm unbeatable. It's just amazing. And so, and it might, I might face hard times and stuff, but I just look at the opportunity then. That's that, it makes me look for the opportunity instead of problems. So yeah, it's great.
So I love that statement, because I'm a big believer in looking for opportunities, because so many people, from a mindset standpoint, can find problems to fit every circumstance, right? There's always some reason why I can't instead of why can't I, right? And I love that statement. It's one I remind myself. I was walking around downtown Traverse City, Michigan, where we live in the summer, and I did a video down in the warehouse district, and I really, that now I start using it all the time, is so many times we something comes up that might be an opportunity, but we're so quick sometimes, human nature is so quick, if you don't have that opportunity mindset to go, all these reasons why I can't do that. Well, I can't do that because, well, I can't do that because the wrong time. It's the wrong this, it's the wrong that. I got a hangnail. I mean, I don't know. There's always some, you come up with every excuse in the book, right?
Yep.
Instead of, if you develop this positive mindset, like you're doing, getting up, getting at it every day, you're always seeing opportunities that you never knew existed, right? It's kind of like there's different deviations of this, but it's the old red car theory, right? You know, you never see any red cars until you buy a red car.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see thousands of red cars and you're thinking, wow, what an influencer I am, man. I bought a red car, now everybody's bought red cars, right? And we had that the first Buick LaCrosse we bought. Never had a Buick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, wow, people are paying attention to us. Look at this. We bought a Buick, and within days, everybody's buying Buicks. Well, they weren't, right? It's just that I was noticing them, right? And I think if we become a opportunistic mindset for looking for opportunities, we find them when we don't even know they existed if we didn't start that day out with that mindset, right?
Yep. And I mean, it's fairly obvious. I mean, when we were pregnant with kids, you always see pregnant ladies, but before that you don't notice them. So it's the same thing. And it's what you focus on. I mean, I'm not a very biblical person, but I love the quote from the Sermon of the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
So what you search for is actually what you find. I mean, right. What you ask for is actually what you get answers to. And if you knock on doors, they will open to you. That's what it says. And it's obvious. And I mean, if you look for trouble, you will find it. It's no challenge finding trouble, but try to twist that and find opportunity in it. And it's amazing. And I strongly believe that's possible.
Yeah. And you know, as we said earlier, it's just as easy to find the good and the opportunities as it is to find the negative, right? A lot of people think people use the word luck. They throw the word luck around a lot. Well, they were just lucky. They were just lucky. Right place, right time. Well, right place, right time, possible. But that's because you put yourself in the right place at the right time. And you were cognizant of and an opportunity seeker to where you were able to identify, hey, maybe I could do that. Maybe that does make some sense, right? Instead of just walking right past an opportunity.
Yeah, luck is preparation meeting opportunity. So exactly. You just prepared for it. Yeah. So, and you will find it everywhere. And I mean, it might be a small one or a big one. That's anything to make you smile or make someone else smile. I think that's opportunities for small miracles, I would call it, because every time I make someone smile, I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Well, you're throwing winds on the wind pile, right? And you know that virtual wind pile, I think, is important because I happen to have a belief, Kim, that we all have a wind pile. You envision it however you envision it, but you got to keep throwing winds on that pile: big winds, little mm-hmm. winds, medium sized winds, and they also don't matter what kind of winds they are. If you get up in the morning, and you literally just told your significant other, boy, you look nice this morning. Let me grab you one more cup of coffee. Don't get up. Then it causes them a slight moment of happiness. That mm-hmm. is a win, right? Yep. That yep. if you now are in sales, which I am, and you get a customer calls right after that, you're in a whole different mindset, right? You're in a yep. mindset to win. So you've just built upon a win that had nothing to do. You went from, and I think people, human nature, you're capable of, if you're open again to being the opportunity seeker, you can go from small, medium, big wins, one right after another. You can go from a health and fitness win to, like you talk about, you get up and get that health and fitness win in early. You're ready for whatever other wins popping in front of you during the day versus yep. having to try to convince yourself, because you've already convinced yourself because you've already went out and won on a big way already, right?
Yep. So I just spoke to another avid workout guy at the gym, and we were talking about motivation. He said he doesn't have to be motivated, because when you go to the gym and you just start, that's the motivation you need. So everyone might search for motivation. You just make it, create that, just go do it, and then do what you want. You can't copy like what I do. You can't do that. You need to feel that it is a decision you want to do and then act on that. So that's why I have in the link, you see the howtofromhell.com, dare to live life. Dare is decide, act, review, and then evolve. So that's it's just some small, I like to make acronyms from for stuff. So
I like that. Dare to live. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's dare, you said. So what's that stand for again?
Decide, act, review, and evolve.
Wow.
And
so
it's
and all four are probably equally important in that, right?
Well, yeah, but you have to decide, and you really have to decide something that you want to do. You can't decide to try and do something else that other people are doing. Find something you want to do, and then the critical part is to do that. Act on it.
To act on it.
Yeah. Yes. And then you can review it and see, okay, did this help me in any way? Did I get closer to my decided goal, or did it kind of stay in the same place? Okay, change then. Change the action. Evolve, grow from that. And anything, you're talking about wins, but any experience might be a win. So, I mean, you can fail in big time. It could bring you backwards instead of forwards, but as long as you learn from that and you take that into consideration and change your action, it's a win.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, when you talk about allergy thing going on, evolving, a word that I like to use a lot for myself, and I talk about a lot when anybody that'll listen is adapting, right? It's kind of the same idea. Adapt, evolve. Yep. You adapt. And one of the biggest things I learned out of the COVID world that we had was not the ability to adapt, but the mindset to be an adapter and to understand that whatever great plans we put together and how brilliant we think this may be, and all the research and all the forethought and all the review, and then we take action. Mm-hmm. There's still that other big word, right? Adaptability, or in your case, evolve. There's still... Yep. May not be perfect yet. There may be something we got to tweak. And so we always got to be in that adapting or evolving mentality. Cause just because we come up with this great plan doesn't mean we're done yet, right?
No, you're never done. That's the whole point. I mean, if you stop evolving or if you stop growing, you might as well be dead. So that's very easy. Yeah.
Truth.
So I don't, I feel that you need to progress. And, but again, you have to progress for you. You can't, you have to kind of compare yourself to yourself yesterday, not to anyone else. So, and yeah, no, I believe it and it works for me. So I will continue with that.
Well, and you're doing a great job of, with your videos, the great Joachim, I love every time it comes on, it pops up on my TikTok and I watch it immediately because I love what you do, and it gives me inspiration, not just you're pounding some insane weight or something. That's not the part. It's just that you're there, you're doing it, and I love your chats. When you jog down to the gym, you're going over that bridge that you always show all the time. Mm-hmm. I assume that's on the trip down.
Yeah,
and it's just good stuff because you need to find things to draw motivation from sometimes because that leads me to a question I want to get your take on, but the ever ending discussion of motivation versus discipline, right? I mean, there are two different things, right? And which is more important in your opinion, motivation or discipline?
Isn't it the same? I think it's the same. I mean, I was reading a quote that Orison Swett Marden made about habits. And I think he made it about 100 years ago that you start with one thread and then in the end you have a cable. That's how you build habits. And in neuroscience, that's actually true. So I think he was way ahead of his time because they found that the way the brain works, it creates synapses. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, you have a strong connection between neurons and then your habit established. And from that quote, I just started finding out, okay, what book was that from? What was his writing? And I found an example of a book he wrote to try and find that. But it didn't have the quote, but it had lots of other stuff. And it talked about self-discipline or willpower. And I think it's a combination because everyone says that, oh, you can't conquer a bad habit by pure willpower. You really need to feel the change. You feel you need to change. But I think that's connected. I think it's discipline. It is motivation because it's self-motivation. And then you have to be disciplined to actually motivate yourself. So I think they go together. And I think nobody is perfect. So nobody has a strong willpower for anything or everything. So I just think you need to, again, look for the opportunity, look for the, what will it give you or what does it give you? What does the bad habit give you that is actually worth something? And most likely, not many bad habits give you much. Right. It might be a short-term relief or something, but in the long term, probably not the best habit to have. So maybe if you kind of aim a bit higher and find your, and that's the discipline part, try to look for the opportunity in the future, that will motivate you. So I think it's just strong related. That's my opinion.
No, and I think that's very well said, and I like that because when you talk about habits, habits is something we tend to think of habits probably more from a bad habit standpoint. As I have a bad habit of doing this, a bad habit of doing that. We all have bad habits.
Yep.
But if you're motivated and then have the discipline to change that habit, the bad habits are hard to change, right? But so are new habits. Just like with you and with myself, I don't have to discipline myself anymore to go get my exercise. I don't have to. It's such a habit now that it's just something I do. There's no discipline. So somebody could say, for you or I that try to do a lot of that kind of stuff, man, that Joachim or Randy must be pretty disciplined to do all that stuff. To some degree, yes. But most of that discipline I know for myself came early on when I still didn't necessarily want to, but I knew the results I wanted to get. And like I said, now it's become such a habit that I can't take any credit for being highly disciplined to go to the gym because it's such a habit that it's just, but that's discipline paying off over time, right? To where once you get habit, it's really not that hard at all.
Nope.
It's just like, it's not hard to eat Oreo cookies if you like Oreo cookies, right? It's a bad habit.
That's very easy.
Pretty easy to do. The only thing I thought about Oreo's cookies is that those packages, you can't open them in a house and not have everybody know.
No.
That's impossible. And I've tried in my life. I was a quite a bit bigger boy myself at one point in time. And one of my downfalls was Oreo cookies, and I would tend to think I was sneaking those out, and apparently I wasn't. But anyways, yeah. So habits. I like that, dear. I wrote that down. I'm going to take that with me today. I like that a lot. So
No habit is, and it's very hard to kind of quit habit. You have to replace it. So you need to find something that actually gives you, like something else that gives you pleasure or gives you some relief. That's the answer to it. And it sounds simple, but I can assure you it's not easy. But life shouldn't be easy. If it was easy, it would be boring. So
truth. But let's go back to what you just said there. That's interesting. So if you're going to replace a bad habit, if you need to replace a bad habit, you recognize you need to replace a bad habit. You can't just stop that habit. You got to replace that with the good habit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's the, because it, you will always, if you can't, I mean, it's a lot of waste. It has a lot to do with time, like what you do with your time. Mm-hmm. And if, let's say you do smoking, you tend to do that for relieving some kind of stress. I'm guessing. I have never smoked, so I don't know. But let's say you can change that into, instead of smoking, maybe go walking then, as you do. And I think, okay, every time you feel the need for a smoke, well, go walk then. Go outside or just sit outside in the sunshine or in the rain or anything. Just do something else. And over time, I think if you are really looking into the long term, it gives you more. So, but you need to kind of finding what's the incentive, what will it give you rather than like the smoking habit. So
sure,
it takes some work. I would say it takes some work, but it's definitely worth it.
It is. Well, and I would think, as we're talking, in your scenario, the evolving, my scenario, adapting, either way, that's probably, in some ways, the most dangerous part of your transition to a better life, right? Is if you don't evolve and you don't adapt, I think what you're saying, or feels like to me what you're saying, is if you don't develop that better habit to replace the old habit, because of the nature of a habit, that by definition, you're going to go right back to that old habit again, because you have to have some habit during that period of time, because we're kind of habitually natured, right? We do things out of habit, and left to my own devices, if I don't have a good habit to replace the bad one, it's probably going to be easy to fall back into the bad one again, right?
Yeah, you would. And that's the review part, because then you'll see, okay, I still smoke and the walking didn't work. So, okay, what else? What's the alternative? Find something else that gives you more pleasure. Because that's, I think it's very easy. You're either running away from something or you're moving towards something. And I think the moving toward is probably the good habits, and the getting away from is the bad habits. So find something that makes you motivated and you are enthusiastic about. I think that's the key. Yeah,
it is a key. Yeah. So so people can find you at the great Joachim on TikTok. And I know you're on LinkedIn some, but TikTok's really the thing you do, right? That's your
That's the most fun part. LinkedIn is work. That's not that fun. I can motivate you, but it's very work related. So
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Norms and standards, and that's not my favorite sharing.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well,
so what I did? In the holiday, I actually, because there is a challenge in kettlebell training that you can do 10,000 swings, which is a movement in kettlebell, and you're supposed to do it throughout 20 workouts. So you do about 500 swings at the workout. And then I had 10 days of vacation, and I decided to do the 10,000 swings throughout the 10 days of vacation, and then I shared it on my Facebook page also. Mm-hmm. It was just to show that you don't need to go to the gym to move your ass. You can actually just have a kettlebell or a weight. Sorry about the language. I'm from hell.
Yeah, hey, that's true.
Yeah. So I just showed that it's possible. And I think, or I hope, some people got motivated. And some people, of course, had to comment on the bad exercise performance and stuff like that. I don't care. It was good for me. It gave me lots of mental victories. And I think it's just a way of showing that everything is possible. Everything you want to do, you can do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I know it's getting into the evening and you probably got stuff to do. I appreciate you being so generous with your time, my friend.
No
should ask question.
To be.
Should ask question. What did we miss today, or what do you wish people would talk about?
Well, it's a very good question. I think I like to be asked, can you help me? Because I can. And I love that when people actually have the guts to actually ask for help. And I would be honored to help them. So that would be if someone could ask me, can you help me? Yeah, that would be great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can tell you take pleasure in that. So, well, Joachim, I appreciate you being on, my friend, and keep doing what you do.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for having me.
I sure will. All right, man.
Yep.
We'll talk soon. Cheers, my friend.
Yep. Cheers to you.
See you. All right. The great Joachim, man from hell, Norway. That's fun to say. Anyway, that was pretty darn motivational. Dare. Write that down. I wrote it down here. Dare. I'm gonna try to live that every single day. So for now, remember, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. Loving what I do and doing what I love. Live it, love it, own it. And as always, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.